Welcome to Pursuing Biblical Masculinity, a podcast where we explore God's Word to uncover the disciplines we need to live out our faith. Our goal is to help men not just know Scripture, but to help them put it into practice so that they can stand firm in their faith. In this episode, we're continuing our exploration in how we can become the spiritual leaders in our homes that God has called us to be as men. In the last episode, we talked about what being a spiritual leader looks like, and specifically within the context of family worship. We looked at the history of family worship throughout the church, what it is, as well as some of the theological foundations for family worship in Scripture. Today, we are going to continue this exploration, but from the idea of duty. This is something that we don't just think about as a good idea, but really something that is being mandated to us in a duty as the father, as the husband, as the male head. Again, this is part of our role. This is part of our God-given design role in an area that we are called to lead in. It's not an option. It's something that we must do. And as we dive into this, we're going to look at the life of one of the great leaders of Israel. And his name was Joshua. He followed Moses after Israel had left Egypt and was heading towards the promised land. Joshua was the one who supported Moses in a lot of these military initiatives, but also studied and was mentored by Moses. And then eventually Joshua takes over the nation of Israel as they go into the promised land. And he is the one that God anoints to lead Israel into the promised land and to begin to push back their enemies. Joshua has lived a good life. He has followed the Lord. He has been faithful to God and he's kept the law to the best of his ability. Sure, he's made mistakes along the way, but Joshua really is someone that we can look to as a man who followed after the Lord. And as he's coming near to his end, he makes a charge to Israel because he remembers when Israel didn't always make good decisions in the desert and watched his whole generation pass, but only him and Caleb be allowed to enter the promised land because of their faithfulness. And he's charging this next generation and he's charging his family to stand firm on those same principles. And he sets a foundation, and he sets a boundary in his family for what is acceptable worship and what is unacceptable worship. This isn't coming from the pastor. This isn't coming from the priest. This is coming from a father and a leader, and he's challenging other fathers and other leaders to do the same thing. So we're looking at Joshua 24, 14 through 15, and I'm reading from the ESV, and it says this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So when we look at these two simple verses, we actually can pull out three very specific things that we are called to do as men, where we can model this life of Joshua. And the first thing is this: Joshua displays a reverence and a fear before the Lord. He understands that the Lord is worthy of praise, and the Lord deserves and desires sincere worship. And he's asking these other leaders to check their hearts. Are they serving the Lord out of sincerity? Are they doing it in an obligated way? You know, this really mirrors back to the very early days of Genesis, where we've got Cain and Abel, where Cain served the Lord out of duty and Abel served the Lord out of love, and Cain was jealous and ended up murdering his brother because of that jealousy and that sin. And Joshua's having the people, again, look at their own hearts. How do they serve the Lord? Do they desire the Lord with fear and awe and reverence? You see, Joshua knows who God is and he trusts who God is. The second thing we see in here is that Joshua clearly understands his role as the leader of his home. Joshua knows who he is. He knows that God has placed him as the head of his household. And Joshua, with that understanding, is able to do the next thing, which is direct his family in worship. He leads with authority. You see, worship of the Lord is not an option in Joshua's home. It's not, well, we're going to go, but if everybody doesn't really want to worship the Lord, we'll just kind of leave them at home. No, he takes up the mantle and leads his family spiritually. He recognizes this as his duty, his calling, and a mandate, and something that is a must for him. And he's modeling this to the other men and the other leaders of the nation of Israel. He's challenging them, saying, who are you going to serve? Because in my house, it's not an option. In my home, we serve the Lord. Now, here's the really cool thing about men who lead like this, who lead with humility, but also are not afraid to stand up for truth. As you begin to have a generational impact, and you even impact the people around you, even though that's not really our intent and our goal. Our intent and our goal is to honor the Lord and serve Him. But there is something that happens when we lead like this. If you read to Joshua 24:31, you see what happens. It says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. His model led others to also live lives like that, to impact their families like that. And the generation even after Joshua continued to serve the Lord faithfully because of the model that he set. Joshua knew who God was. He was worthy of our praises. He understood his role as a leader in his home. He knew who he was, and he knew the mandate God had given him, and he led with authority, which means he wasn't afraid to speak the truth. He didn't give an option, but he led his family to the one true God daily. And this is something that we as men are also called to do. We are called to lead this way. You know, oftentimes we see children stray away from the faith. And if we look at how they were brought up, we don't always see a father and a mother who are engaged in daily family worship. We don't see fathers who are leading well. Oftentimes, they usually had a mother who was earnestly praying, but a father who was absent. And dads, we have to step up and begin leading this way. And this is an area that I got called out and challenged in. I'm not perfect in this area, but I know that's an area where I'm already seeing fruit in my marriage as well as in my relationship with my boys, because I'm daily doing everything I can to take that time and bring them to the only one who actually can change their lives and give them hope and a future. God is calling us to worship Him, yes, alone, one-on-one time, but also in our families. So what does this look like? What is this daily duty of family worship or spiritually leading our family look like? Well, God's given us three different ways to worship Him with our families. It's daily instruction in the Word of God. It's daily prayer to God and daily singing of praise to God. When we talk about leading our family spiritually, it starts with God's Word. And for this, we can go to Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 19. And it says, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your head, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting down in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Here we're seeing that we need to continually speak and teach the Word of God in our homes. It's not something we do sporadically, but it's something that we should be doing daily, as often as we can, pointing our children, pointing our spouses to Jesus, and pointing them to the Word of God so that it can then transform their lives. The second thing we do is pray. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We're called to rejoice. We're called to pray without ceasing. Now, this doesn't mean we walk around with our head bowed and our eyes closed, but it means that we're in a constant state and attitude of prayer, that we're constantly giving thanks and we're modeling gratitude to those around us, and specifically within our homes. So taking those times to pray, not just for our meals, but pray about everything, the big things and the little things, and modeling a life of prayer. And lastly, we're called to sing. God commands us to sing to Him. And I know there's a lot of people that maybe hear this and go, well, I'm not singing in front of my family. It's not about having talent. It's not about being able to play an instrument. It's about modeling worship and inviting our children into worship. It says in Psalms 118, 15, glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. Now, the tents in this speaking would be the homes of the righteous. So talking about having glad songs of salvation always being sung in the homes of the righteous, those who are or call themselves Christians. Like, this is something we do. We sing to the Lord. It says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We are commanded in Scripture to sing. We're commanded in Scripture to sing in our homes. to model this behavior in our marriages as well with our children in this family setting. And it's something we're called to do daily. It says in Genesis 18:19, "For I have chosen him that he may command his children in his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring Abraham what he promised him." God calls Abraham to be a leader of a nation. Now, Abraham didn't see the size of the nation that Israel became, but he was faithful. Not always in everything. He definitely had his mistakes. But the Lord chose him that he would command his children and his household to keep the ways of the Lord. And that is something that we are called to do as well, to keep the ways of the Lord in our homes. It's not something that's nice to do. It's not something that sounds good, but it is a commandment from God. And as men, it's something that we have to take serious, and we need to begin to work out in our homes. Now, in the next episode, I'm going to get real practical, and we're going to talk specifically how you actually begin to implement family worship. But this week, I just want to challenge you to read back through some of these scriptures and begin to ask the Lord to open and soften your heart towards the idea of family worship. This is an intimate thing, and it can be scary, and I totally understand that. But it's not something you have to do alone. If you have questions, if you want to have a conversation about this, please check out our website at reformedandredeemed.org. Contact me, have a discovery session, whatever you need to do, so that we can sit down and really talk about what this looks like for you and your family. Maybe I can pray with you, give you some helpful resources, so that you can begin to lead your family in the way that God has commanded you to.